Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Thrive Together online think tank. We are having a glorious, much needed rainy day out here in Northern California, and we are very excited and at the same time sad about today's gathering. We're excited because the topic is, we believe, one of the most important and universally relevant conversations that we could be having. And sad because this is the final Thrive Together think tank for now, and we'll discuss that in a little while. So to start out with, I want to give you a little overview of what we're going to be doing today. First, we're going to be talking a little bit about the transition that Thrive is going through. Both Kimberly and I will address the sort of whys and hows of that. And then after that, we'll open it up to questions and comments from you so that we can discuss that with this core team that's on this call that has been, you know, amongst our most intimate supporters and people with whom we have these challenging conversations again and again. Then we'll change to the topic of the day, of world viewing. How can we stay connected with loved ones who see the world through a different lens? We've noticed that every single person that we know in the Thrive Network, one way or another, is dealing with this issue, and people hardly ever talk about it. But once the conversation gets started, people can't stop talking about it, and it's a really valuable one to learn from each other on. So we'll start into that with actually two polls to kind of check and see how it's going for you, and then open it up to your shares and questions and comments. We'll open up for quite a while. We just really want to have that discussion as if we were all sitting in the living room together. And then after a while, we'll have one more poll and then more interaction after that before we close. So we'll get going with the day in just a moment. But first, I want to call up Goa to go over just the logistics, some announcements, so that you're really clear on how the tech works and we can have it run as smoothly as possible. So Goa, come on up.
Great. Thank you, Foster, and welcome, everybody. First, a quick reminder, this event is being recorded, and we're going to make these available, these archives available for others. First, a quick overview of how things work today, and pay attention because we definitely are doing something different. Please, as usual, use chat for comments and to share resources with other people. If you have any tech issues today, email Mitch, our team member, at events@thrivemovement.com. And when that issue is resolved, please let him know because that helps him out a lot. And again, I said we were going to do things a little bit different today. So instead of using the Q&A to interact, we're going to be raising our hands. So at various points today, we're going to be asking you to raise your hand. So if you could find that icon in your interface now. Now, depending on Windows or Mac, it'll be somewhere in the participants panel, but it looks like a big hand. Should be very easy. One reminder, when you do raise your hand, it stays up until you unraise it. So make sure that you unraise it or keep it down if you don't have it intentionally up. Okay. And again, we're using our hand raising so we can try and move through as many people as possible and not use the Q&A to sort of prolong the process. So anyway, please keep your comments or questions to 1 minute. And again, lower your hand when you're done. We will be reminding you if you don't have your hand lowered. So please be mindful of this so we don't have to spend time reminding folks. Okay, unfortunately, those on mobile devices, again, will not be able to be using their poll responses today. And that's it. Foster, back to you.
Okay, great. Well, let's dive into the topic of what's going on at Thrive that has us closing down this conversation that we have been enjoying so much and get so much value out of. We've been also getting a lot of super positive feedback. We started this because of people's requests to have more intimate, in-depth conversation about all the topics that Thrive covers. And we were thrilled to get that request, and we felt that this format has addressed it well. But for now, we need to suspend operations. And I want to bring on Kimberly, first of all, to talk about her perspective on that.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, I feel really poignant about this day being the end of this particular kind of interaction, and want to thank you all for being here and I know a few of you introduced yourselves to me when we were recently at the AMP conference, and it was really fun to see you in person. And anyway, so thank you. And yeah, so what's happening is actually really exciting. And most of you probably know we've talked about Thrive Connect as kind of the cosmic dating service that emerged because after the release of Thrive, we heard from people from around the world, you know, the movies in 27 languages. So we got exposed to people from all over, including thousands of real innovators and, you know, people with new technologies, new health cures, new social and economic programs that are really breakthrough innovations that if, you know, combined and released effectively into the world could really change things and transform the planet into the thriving opportunity that we know it can be. So at the same time, we did hear from philanthropists and investors and people who said they wanted to help make things happen. So we started vetting some of those and finding out which ones really had what they thought they had and created an encrypted database and sort of the initial systems that were going to be needed, and including something called TAMI, our Thrivability Assessment Matrix Index. It was a way to assess in depth what the various organizations had to see infrastructure-wise what was needed, because we realized it takes a lot more than money for a new energy technology or a new health cure to actually get out to the world. And so specifically, we there's legal, manufacturing, distribution, security, just the interface between different companies, all these different things. And I'll give you an example with a health cure, for example. There's the minefield that we at Thrive know how to navigate, you know, with the suppression. And that was one of the whole purposes of Thrive, was to, you know, be educated enough that our solutions could be more leveraged because we could see what was really going on in the way of suppression and things. So with the health cure, let's say somebody wants to open source it but have a license back, right, so that the application of that cure can still be providing revenue to generate more cures or compensate the person who spent their life and money developing it. Well, there's never been an open source for a health cure before, right? It's not coded the same way as has been typically used. So it's one of a million things that we need to innovate now to figure out how to do that, as well as how to provide the support and structure that's needed to identify what's really required to get the stuff effectively out. So we have the trust from the innovators. We've identified the top projects that we want to work with. We've teamed up. We've identified now sufficient sources of money and legal and security and manufacturing and distribution. And we're going to take the time, and I'm going to especially be spending full time, as are some of our other team members now, taking a small number of these projects from start to finish, specifically with health and energy, so that we can identify any snags in the system and the process and actually move them out. So it's a big undertaking, and it's one that we feel especially right to do. I just feel like we're the right people at the right time to take this on. And so it's not, but there's just not the time to keep engaging with the public in the same way. It's just like when we were making Thrive, we didn't have much of a public presence because there's just so much to do behind the scenes on this. And so that's what's happening again. We're just going to kind of hunker down and get this thing working in a way that we will then be able to have a model from these being effective. We can then add to it to where it's actually just a systemized thing that we'll be able to move Thrive Connect projects through, and there will be a way for us to take in the, you know, thousands of them that are out there in the world and vet them, get them what they need, and get them out all around the whole planet to really help complete our mission to create an opportunity for everybody to thrive. So I'm really excited about it. While I'm doing that, and like I said, a lot of the team members will be joining me and putting our attention to that completely. And so I won't be involved at all in any of the social media or blogs or anything that keeps on happening. There won't be as much of that. Foster's doing something he can tell you about. He's going to have a blog with called Spotlight that comes out occasionally. He reads hundreds of articles and watches videos every week, and he's going to be curating the best of those and making them available to anybody signed up on the newsletter. And still continuing to have a Facebook and social media presence without me. But most of all, and he'll be consulting for Thrive Connect, and also focusing on his book that is his absolute passion, to be able to really dive into liberty and the philosophy and strategy of restoring wholeness on this planet in every sector. And he can describe more about that. But he'll be writing. I'll be, managing this Thrive Connect adventure. And so we hope that you will want to continue to support us in doing that, because it takes a lot to run this team and make these things happen. And we'll be in touch with you more separately about how to do that. We don't really have the infrastructure in place, but we will be creating it. If you can keep up your monthly donations, that would make a big difference. And we'll keep you posted as is safe and appropriate with our progress, bringing these things through. And if I have my way, I promise you that you will see the results of our work, and that it will make a huge difference in the world. And I feel very grateful to be so clear about what's the next best use of me and of the Thrive team. So thank you for helping us to get here. And just thanks to you all. So that's what we're doing.
Okay, thanks, Kimberly. Well, Kimberly covered a lot of what I'm going to be doing. Just to echo that, I will be continuing to do some blogs. We'll keep our Facebook presence. And this new thing that I'm going to be doing that she mentioned, this Spotlight, you'll be seeing that if you're on our email list, which I'm assuming that you are. If you're not, just go to the front page of the Thrive Movement website and sign up. But I want to save people as much time as possible and assist in their critical thinking as much as possible. And I do, for my own self-defense and my mission in life, I really follow what's going on in the world very closely, many hours a day. And I'm going to be trying to pull the best of that and putting it out in this newsletter called Spotlight, where we'll have themed articles. Some of them will be good news topics. Others will be global domination agenda topics. Others will be, something that we want to feature. Others will be what you can actually take action on. There's some in the first newsletter, which should be coming out within the next few days. There's a set of articles that I'm just calling inspiring leadership, where rather than the coercion of the rulers, when people take action that is that really helps other people out and is done with integrity, it's inspiring to other people. That's the difference for me between leadership and ruling. So I've highlighted some articles on that, and then I make some comments and an introduction to them to try to put it in context. And to just help people get the themes and the meanings out of these rather than just get caught up in the next, rapid news cycle. And then, as Kimberly mentioned, I have wanted for a long time to write a book on liberty. Those of you who've been following Thrive for a while probably know that anytime I start talking about any problem, then I end up talking about what I see as the potential solutions for those problems. And that at its core is always the non-aggression principle, what we call the liberty perspective. If people's sovereignty was actually honored and they were free to do what they want to do, to create what they want to create, as long as it's not violating anyone else, we'd already have the free energy technologies out. We would have plenty of organic you know, polyculture. We would already have, you know, honest banks and honest currencies, and just on and on. We would have these things if people were free to get them out. So it's been so exciting for me to realize the common denominator of all the problems is that they're all breakdowns in the wholeness of natural systems, and that the solution is therefore learning to recognize what the wholeness of a natural system looks like and how to restore that. And that always, to me, involves using as one's compass the non-aggression principle. So there are many people who have done brilliant books and videos and so forth on this, but like with Thrive, we haven't seen anything yet that does it in the way that we want to do it. And I think it will be user-friendly at a new level, comprehensive at a new level, and hopefully entertaining at a new level and empowering. So I've already been working on that kind of in the margins, but any of you who do, you know, writing or filmmaking, you know you need enough runway to get your speed up in order to really be able to take off and get into that full creative state and complete something like that. So I'm going to be doing that as much as I can, and also still working on Thrive Connect and vetting different projects and connecting these inventors and investors and so forth. So that's what we're going to be doing. If you have questions or comments on that, I'd like you to go to the your control panel now and then raise your hand. Click on the thing that says to raise your hand. And then we'll call on you as best we can in chronological order. And while you're doing that, Go. I'd like you to spend just a moment talking about how we're going to be closing down these Thrive Together accounts, so we don't need to get caught up too much in the logistics of how this is going to be happening.
Sure. Thanks, Foster. So again, just a reminder, the Thrive Together program will be ending on March 20th. Your account at that time will be closed, and your credit card will not be charged after March 20th, that date. You don't really need to do anything in this regard. The Thrive Together portal will be closing and unavailable after March 20th. However, we've decided and actually found a way to release all of our Thrive Together event archives to the public, and we'll be rolling that out, that archive, hopefully on the same day, but as soon as possible. At that point, you'll be able to download the WebEx event file itself, which is playable via their own app. But we'll also be making the audio recordings available, kind of like a podcast. So as usual, today's events will be available in the portal after today, after we're closed. But again, all that will change on March 20th. So that's a quick summary. And again, we really have enjoyed this think tank. I personally, it's been a great experience for me, and so grateful for everyone's support of this program. Thanks, Foster.
Okay, so let's call on someone who has their hands raised and talk about this transition.
Great. So first up is Sky, and what I'm going to do is just simply unmute everybody, and I think that'll be faster than bringing through the cameras, if that's all right. Sky, you're up. Can you hear us?
Yes. I was just wondering what we can practically do to help at this point, especially in pulling the Thrive Together, the Thrive Connect stuff together.
Well, I really appreciate that question. And the first things that come to mind for me is one, if you have any funds, any resources to donate, those will go to our team and our technology to keep this whole thing going, just as your membership in Thrive Connect has been so important month to month to keep us going. Secondly, if you know of inventors or innovators who have really fantastic programs. I mean, there's countless great programs out there, but with given that we've been contacted by over 1,000 of them, and we've narrowed it down to about half of those look like ones that we could really be working with at a highly leveraged level. And then we've cut that down to, you know, 50 to 70 that we think we actually have time to be in communication with, and then are actually focusing our efforts on just a very small number to begin with. But if you know of either real breakthrough unique projects, or you know of philanthropists or investors who are open-minded enough and aware enough and committed enough to engage in the sort of projects that Thrive is involved in, then send them our way. Send it to Mitch at info@thrivemovement.com, and he'll forward any of those type of things on to us, and then we'll be in touch with them, and then if it warrants it, we'll get them into our database. Kimberly, any additions to that?
Yeah, and I want to say one of the things about that is that we have chosen the projects that we're going to focus on, and it's going to take us a while. This is no small deal here. I mean, you know, everybody has to be checked out for us to even make connections with them, right? I mean, this is a high security kind of a deal, and engaging with the particular needs and doing the assessment, it's a complex, multidimensional thing. I mean, it's going to make producing Thrive probably look easy, which I can't imagine ever actually just came out of my mouth. But anyway, so nobody is going to move to the front of the line now. We're committed and engaged with what we're doing, and we're far enough along that, you know, obviously we've been doing some of this to prepare and make the necessary connections before saying, okay, we really can't keep doing Thrive Together anymore. So we want to hear from everybody. We want to do the initial vetting and get them into the database so we know what we've got, but we need to have realistic expectations that we are going to now focus on what we're doing and work this thing through, because I know from experience that if we get this model nailed down, which we will, then we'll be able to move a lot of things through quickly and safely and really have our global distribution stuff in place. And so I just want realistic expectations for people getting in touch. And then the other thing is, you know, your good thoughts and energy and sharing the stuff that we do put out when we do really matters. I know it's part of what we'll talk about even when we talk about sharing information with people who don't want to hear it necessarily or who have resistance to it. What happens in feeling the community of support that does exist, I think, is far more meaningful and impactful than we might realize. And so this core group of Thrive Together people and those who are supporting us and sharing the stuff that we put out really, really makes a difference. So I appreciate that also, and whatever you're all doing to, you know, to be thriving in your own lives so that you can, and holding the vision and the, you know, real plan here that we're going to effectively bring out a super strategic, effective global change in all sectors. So that's what matters to me at this time.
And I also want to say, Skye, while you're on here, this really applies to probably everyone on this call. But Skye is such a great example of the level of your enthusiasm and participation and just the quality of your insight on our website, on the Facebook posts and so forth. Just know that that's not just going out into the ethers and disappearing. It makes a huge difference to us to see that. You know, it helps with our own energy and enthusiasm and hope, as well as we learn from the things that you post and your comments. So for all of you, please continue with that. It makes a big difference.
One comment I want to acknowledge here from Phil about having really appreciated Thrive Together, because it's audio and being visually impaired, it's not possible to read all the stuff that we're putting out. And so I'm going to take that to heart and see what we can do to continue to put. I'm not visually impaired, but I'm a total audio learner. And so I will see what we can do to do audio versions at core times with core information to make that available to people. So please stay connected with us directly, and we'll come up with ways to keep you engaged and satisfied. And thanks for bringing that to our attention.
Thank you, Skye.
Okay, let's bring up another one.
Okay. Next up is Phil Christophers. All right. You're unmuted. Phil, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Coming through loud and clear.
Okay, thank you. All I would like to say at this point, I mean, I greatly appreciate your show, this format, this modality, and it has helped me greatly. And so I want to share something that I've come across that I feel quite deeply is true, and that is that all is consciousness, that we create our reality, that if we just meditate, pray, whatever you do, that you can manifest what you need. Now, obviously, in this case, I'm not getting what I need because you guys are going away, going to a different modality. But I will find a way to be able to read what you're putting out. I will do that. And I want to thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Phil.
Thank you, Phil. All right. Next up is Shannon Weckman. Shannon, go ahead. You're unmuted.
Hi. I guess my comment is more for Kimberly. I'm involved with Fernando Morris at Pure Magnetics, and I was just wondering if that's one of the companies that you might be looking at through Thrive Connect.
Yes, it is.
That sounds great.
They're not in the first the smallest group that we're actually starting in on now. But they are very high on our list, and we hold out great hope for them and are working very hard to get them the rest of the support that they need.
Okay, so thank
for people who aren't familiar with what Shannon is talking about, this is Searle Magnetics. It's the work of John Searle, who's in his 80s, from the UK. And he was one of the first people to develop an over-unity as well as an anti-gravity device. And he got shut down, and he's willing to come out. Now, there are a number of groups in the United States and elsewhere who are working on recreating his work, but he needs sufficient funding to be confident that whoever he helps with his knowledge and to take the risks to do this again, he needs to be confident that they can get all the way to the finish line. So if that's something that you want to help with, let us know. John Searle's a great man and a great inventor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you.
Okay, next is Sperry Andrews. And again, when you're done, please lower your hand. Sperry, go ahead. You're unmuted.
Yes, I have been so grateful to Thrive and everything that you've done all these years, just extraordinarily inspiring and uplifting and encouraging and emboldening, you know, uniting us all. And I feel you're modeling what it is to be conscious of consciousness together as a unity. And what I'm wondering about is what is happening with Corey Good and David Wilcock and all these other people that are investigating the extraterrestrial element, is that the extraterrestrials really want humanity to move towards a telepathic type communion of consciousness, where we're conscious of consciousness rather than so much heavily weighted to consciousness of content. And my work for decades has been about being able to be conscious of consciousness while juggling all the infinite amount of content that we're subjected to, without losing that grounding in being aware of awareness as one and indivisible. It's very different that if we're each individually conscious of consciousness, and it's a huge step I've found in the last 30 years to make that shift to being conscious as consciousness together, where there is no, the separate self is honored, but it is secondary to this unity of consciousness. And I'd like to wonder what Thrive is doing and wants to do about that as an important piece, because the ETs apparently are voting on, based on the quality of human consciousness at this time, And they're saying that, you know, things are not really going to open up as quickly because there's this lack of unity consciousness. So if you comment on that, please.
Well, thanks, Barry. I appreciate that. And, you know, I'm not going to go too far into the ET or consciousness topics right now because we've got these other ones scheduled for today. But obviously, it's the core topic of everything is dealing with our own consciousness and then interacting with others. In terms of the whole ET area, particularly with Corey Good as an example, I think it's a perfect practice ground for us to stay open-minded to other realities, other species in the universe, and at the same time, keep looking for evidence. You know, how do we know what's real? How do we know what's somebody making something up on the internet? How do we know what's disinformation coming from the agencies and from the government and so forth? And I think that the Corey Good story is an absolutely fascinating one that could have a lot of truth, and it could be a total manipulation. I really don't know, but it's a great area for us all to practice open-minded discernment while going forward with all these topics, especially in relation to consciousness itself. And as far as Thrive Connect is concerned, worldview is one of our 12 sectors. It's actually the 13th sector because it really permeates and centers all of them. And there are a number of people in our Thrive Connect database who we think are at the leading edge of consciousness and worldview changing and honing. So in that whole area, you know, we'll be following that area, will be trying to help others lead that area. And as I say, it will center all of the other ones as we go forward. So we really appreciate the work that you have been doing focused in that. And for another time, we'll get deeper into it.
I'd like to add just a little bit, if I could, Foster.
Sure.
Sperry, I really appreciate this bringing mindfulness to this sort of being conscious of consciousness. And I wanted to share sort of where it really rubber meets the road for me on a daily basis, because specifically with the Secret Space Program, because this is something that I'm researching deeply as well. And to me, personally, it's a blend between this sort of having a real active discernment, but also engaging my intuition. And I think bringing mindfulness to those aspects is actually kind of being conscious of consciousness in one way. And I think when we're engaging with new content and we're using those filters and really paying attention to those antennas, they can really inform what's truth and what's not and be, you know, and accelerate our journey through the muck and the mire. So thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just say one other thing about it too, because, you know, in this producer role and strategizing and all of that, one of the things that I notice is that it's really important to have time to actually be quiet and tune in to what is the intuition and, you know, who am I as part of this vast, infinite field of cosmic energy, and what is my purpose and my role in it, and to continuously refine that as I'm guided with more information, both, you know, concrete 3D information as well as insight and intuition that comes to me in those quiet times. And so balance, life balance actually has a huge amount to do with all of this for me. And it's part of why I just sort of reached this point where I can't be engaged in a lot of the social media interaction and stuff because I can't stay quiet enough to access my intuition if I'm also just running around full speed all the time engaged. And so to me, that, you know, there's always the practical integration of the insights that come. And one of them is to really pay attention to how much time we each allow ourselves to reflect and tune in. And that's been a key part of it for me.
May I say just one thing in comment and reflection?
Yeah, briefly.
Thank you. You know, really, absolutely, I don't feel that it's possible for me to digest or make sense of the content in the world, all of its complexity, unless I am Am I quiet and relaxed, completely relaxed and unstressed? And then in consciousness, the insights appear. But what I have been working on for the last 30 years is when people are able to be aware of awareness in a fully embodied way together, you don't have to retreat into, you know, meditative silence as separate individuals. You can stay in that field of shared awareness in a fully embodied way very effortlessly and remain as if you were meditating by yourself alone, but you're with people and you're active, which I think you all are modeling beautifully. And but it's to advocate that people come together and be aware of being awareness at a cellular level together is a huge step, because we've been so conditioned to believe that we're separate and identified with our separate challenges. And that keeps us separate, keeps us fragmented. And I think that that's really one of the major obstacles to our thriving.
Okay, great. Thank you for that reminder.
So there's one more, and then we can move on to our next topic, I think.
Well, there's actually several more.
Oh, I see Zachary.
So Zachary, is he on, Goa?
Whoops. Goa, are you there?
I'm so sorry, I had myself muted. Zachary, I've got you unmuted. I so apologize for that.
As long as we didn't lose you for good, we'd be in real trouble then.
So I've got Zachary unmuted. Can you hear us, sir? Zachary Petty. Oh, maybe not. Well, the next person up would be Penny. So, Penny, you're now unmuted. Penny, can you hear us?
Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Penny.
I just wanted to first say how much I appreciate all of you. And I'm actually really sad that this is ending. One of the pieces I really appreciate was foster your updates on what's going on, like especially in the financial world. I'm wondering if you're going to continue that in some other form in your blogs or some other way.
Yeah, I'll do it in a much briefer form with commentary on this spotlight curation of articles. But when something needs a little more depth and when I have the time to do it, it will be through either a video or a written blog. But thank you for your appreciation of those. I think things are going to get more and more intense this year in that area. So I think that'll be one that I'll be commenting on.
I'm sure of it.
Great. Thank you, Penny. Well, do we want to close it here, or should we?
No, let's get Preston on, then we'll go on to the next topic.
Oh, Preston, great. Preston, you're unmuted. Go ahead, and just a quick reminder for those that have exchanged with us, please lower your hand.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Hey, Preston.
Yeah, hi.
Just want to thank you guys really quickly for everything that you've done. You guys have changed my life, and both as a thinker and creator and inventor, and just with my intention and given me a framework and context to make a lot more meaning with my life. And I'm forever indebted and grateful. And I'm really excited to see this evolution of the project. It feels like it has a lot more teeth now. And it's just a blessing to be in this community. I have a few really quick yes or no questions, like one word questions for you. First, are you guys structuring this first cohort as like a hands-on accelerator? How long do you expect the first cohort to take? Is the plan for the beta to structure it with you guys as like Thrive Venture Fund? Those are the first real quick yes, no's.
Well, we can't be too specific about that, partly because we're still creating it and partly for security reasons. But we're working with several different types of partners, consulting partners with expertise in different areas, and funding partners, manufacturing, distribution. And we're still in the process of fine-tuning how the flow of funds and decision making and so forth will go. But there'll definitely be we won't have a bricks and mortar incubator at this point, but we have a community of experts who are basically kind of a virtual incubator. We're more this cosmic dating service right now, where we're connecting the innovators with the investors and philanthropists. But it also turns out that we have particular skills, which we're realizing have been to a great extent what's been missing in bringing these things safely out. And that is the business expertise in the startup phase. When someone says, yeah, I want to fund this thing that some inventor has been, you know, creating brilliant breakthroughs on, between there and the manufacturing phase, it's very challenging. It's very challenging in terms of communications, and it's very challenging in terms of the business, but it's especially challenging oftentimes interpersonally. And Kimberly and I and the team that we've assembled have a lot of experience. You know, we're not all that young. We've been doing this for decades, and we've learned a lot about what works and what doesn't work. And particularly Kimberly in the executive area. I've never met a more effective or fun to work with executive. And with me, I was a conflict resolution and team building specialist in Silicon Valley for 15 years. So I know a lot about what makes teams collapse and what makes them, you know, cohere and get strong. And we also have quite a network now of people with different skills. So it's still very much a mobile in the sense that there's all these different parts that kind of balance with each other. So that's probably as much as I'd want to say right now. Anything to add, Kimberly?
I think I would just say that there's both the human element. I mean, like when I look at what it takes to get these innovations, there are so many cures for supposedly incurable illnesses that are there, and there are so many new technologies. I mean, the capacity to decontaminate from nuclear waste, total water purification capacity. I mean, there are amazing things in varying degrees of development that have already been achieved, like that I'm convinced are real and workable. And there's not just the minefield that's created by the powers that be in the suppression, but there's also the complexities of human beings that are actually a lot more complex than the technologies and the cures. It's like, whoa, especially many of the people who are these brilliant geniuses who have devoted their lives to developing these things are often not the best team players and often are wearing lots of hats, right? Which isn't a very good use of them. Like you got somebody who can develop some incredible unprecedented cure and they're running around trying to, you know, take care of things on their team or lack thereof that they shouldn't be. So a bunch of it has to do with this assessment, which is identifying sort of ruthlessly what's really needed, like with all due respect for the capacity of what's there, what's it really going to take? And so there's the human part of it, there's the legal part of it, there's the corporate structure part of it, like there's all these different pieces. And every single person that we bring in needs to have a background security vetting on our part, right? Like we're not just going, wow, there's a great manufacturer, you know, how do you make sure you build in these contracts so that nothing can ever get shelved, so that nothing's ever so exclusive that it's only in one country, so that the person, you know, not only that, but people want different kinds of compensation. There are some people who are like, I just want this thing out. How can I do that most safely? There are others who are, look, I gave my life to this. I need a bunch of money to make this worthwhile. There's some combination. And so that's the level where we've identified enough of the players now, not just in the form of the inventions and cures, but with manufacturing and distribution and legal and security, that we've got enough of the team together that we'll use again and again, right? We can vouch for these people being the right people to be on the team. And that's taken some time, and it takes money. Every background check takes us a ton of money. Every one of these, it's a super expensive endeavor, and everything's got to have a lot of security on all levels around it. So when I said we're building a model, that's really a significant part of this. Like by taking these few projects, they're different enough that we're going to run into different things with them, and they're at different stages in their development. So that we'll be able to find out where the loopholes on our end that need to be covered, where and what are some additional things that we find out we need to be looking for on theirs. So it's that kind of, you know, many moving parts, which is, I love that. That's kind of where I kick into having the most fun, is solving these multidimensional puzzles, and also understanding the ramifications of it. I mean, there are some amazing world-changing things coming out here, and a lot of brilliant people dedicated to making it happen. So I feel really grateful to be able to be in this position at this time. And, you know, your acknowledgement and the fact that we've had an impact on your lives, it just means the world to me. That's what this whole thing has been about, is helping each other get from here to where we need to go. So thank you.
And in summary, I would say that if we had a lot more inventors who had the business skills and the interpersonal skills that a Preston Bates or a Goa Lobaugh had, this job would be a lot easier. Let's put it that way.
You can take my other questions offline, guys. I appreciate your time. Thanks for acknowledging and answering, and you're too kind. And this enterprise couldn't be in more deserving and thoughtful hands. So I speak on behalf of everybody when I say that.
Thank you, Preston.
Thank you so much.
I really appreciate that. Okay, we need to move on to the next topic, because we want to have plenty of time to dive into this. So as we do, please, Goa, if you could tell them specifically, the people who have come on, how to lower their hand on the control panel, that will free us up to go on to the next section.
Sure. Well, there are just three folks. You can see yourself in the participants panel. Again, find the icon that you push to raise your hand and just push it again, and that'll lower your hand. When you're successful, you'll see your name drop out of the list, and that's how you'll know.
And what if they're in full screen mode?
If they're in full screen mode, they can activate the participants panel and get to it that way, or simply exit full screen mode. So again, we've got Zachary and Michael Spies. You could hit that. Lower your hand button. That would be great. Sperry, you just went the wrong direction, sir. There we go. Thank you.
Okay. Well, so while Zachary and Michael are searching that out, let's start moving on to our main topic. So I want to be very clear that as long as Kimberly and I have been involved in this kind of work, we're still working on a daily basis on our skills of how to stay connected with loved ones who see the world through a different lens. And we'll be sharing that as we go along. But to start with, what I'd like to do is take a poll so that you can kind of assess, and we can assess the group. If you could bring up the first poll. Okay, so look at this with me. I want you to ask yourself, in what areas have you been finding the most resistance when you're sharing challenging topics with friends and with family and with work associates? And as you go over this list, I want you to click on your top three so we can kind of see where the emphasis is with the group. So is it in trying to talk about the encroaching police state or about the banking schemes that you don't see covered or disclosed in mainstream media? Is it about whether or not free energy could possibly be real? Same thing with ETs. Depopulation agenda, we found, is certainly one of the two or three most difficult ones to share, about which you need to be very careful when and where and with whom. Is it health corruption, when you try to bring up what's going on with Big Pharma and the FDA and AMA and so forth, particularly with the killing of holistic doctors recently? Is it geoengineering, with chemtrails and HARP and fracking, things like that? Is it false flag operations? Is it something about climate change, especially if you think that climate change is being used as a ruse to create a one-world government or to control people's lives, you know, get international tax and laws and that kind of thing? Is it politics itself? Probably everybody's dealing with that in one way or another, particularly if you're not just rooting for a particular candidate, but actually exposing the nature of politics and control itself. Is it the liberties perspective? I know this is probably the most challenging one, but also the most exciting and important one to me, is actually talking about equal rights for everyone. Is it surveillance? That used to be a very challenging one for us. You know, we covered it in the film. People, a lot of people thought we were crazy conspiracy theorists, and then Edward Snowden came out, and all of a sudden they're asking us, okay, well, what else do you know? Or is it suppression? Suppression of holistic healing, suppression of truth and media, suppression of free energy devices and so forth. Or if you've got one that's one of your top three that isn't on here, just click on other as one of your top three, and hopefully we'll get a chance for you to share that in the discussion. So go ahead and click on three of them and then hit submit. No, it's there already. You guys are fast. Okay, when you're looking at this summary, remember, you can click on the dividing line between the questions tab and the results tab. Just pull that to the right, and you'll be able to see the full question. All right, so it looks like depopulation agenda is, yes, understandably, where a lot of resistance comes up. False flags as well, and ET UFOs. The no answer number, 38% at the bottom, we find that that's virtually always when people are on a mobile device, and so they can't participate in this. Okay, well, that's very helpful to me. Yeah, you look at surveillance is the lowest, and people wonder whether or not Edward Snowden has, you know, done a service. No wonder the powers that be want to silence him. Okay, great. Now, Rob, if you could bring up the second poll. Now I want you to ask yourself, what are you finding doesn't work well in your experience to do in important but risky conversations? So when you're talking with someone and it's not going well, and you actually look back on yourself and just instead of blaming them, look back and see what's not working for you. How could you do it better? Then look over this list and check whichever ones apply. You can do as many as you want here, as many as you have been experiencing. So is it when you're being too loud? When you're talking too fast, when you notice, uh-oh, I guess I was kind of trying to dominate the conversation and just cram that information down their throat. Is it that you've realized that you've been shaming the other person for either what you see as their ignorance or an opinion that you disagreed with? Is it getting angry? Is it radiating your own fear? Giving too much information for them to handle in a single conversation? This is a really important one. Is it not balancing the relating of facts with the sharing of personal feelings and experiences, finding a balance between the feelings and the facts? Is it claiming certainty, you know, just being sure that you're right without having sufficient evidence or without providing sufficient evidence? Is it mixing speculation with facts without acknowledging the difference? Or is it dwelling on scary scenarios without wrapping it in a context of a way out of including solutions? Okay, so check whichever ones apply and hit submit on that one. All right, results are up. And giving too much information is the winner. Anybody who's not guilty of that one probably is fooling themselves. Let's see, then we've got dwelling on scary scenarios. Yep, not balancing the relating of facts with the sharing of personal feelings and experiences. Okay, so clearly all of these are relevant. So I'm going to take a screen grab of that one so I can refer back to that. But thank you for your self-reflection on that. It's super helpful. Okay, so I want to open up this topic now and just really have it be a fireside chat. And the reason for me, one of the reasons why we're using the hand raising today instead of just submitting a question is that I'd love to hear a very succinct version, when possible, of a story. When you are talking about something that you have been having difficulty with in the conversation, or something that you learned from your experience, if you could just relate a very quick story so that people can relate to that personally, that would be helpful. And there's obviously not time to type that out effectively in the chat room. So while people are raising their hands, indicating that they would like to either share something or ask a question about, you know, where you might be having difficulty on this, or to just share a comment or an insight, while they're doing that, Go, I know you had said that you have several stories that come to mind for you from your own experience. You want to start this off while people are raising their hands with sharing one of those?
Sure. Well, most of you know I'm a real enthusiast of free energy, and I remember at a birthday party engaging, sadly, it was actually the birthday person on the topic, and they were so convinced that the sort of technology wasn't available that they couldn't get past, you know, sort of my belief or my evidence that, no, that they really did exist, and that the real problem in getting things to market or out into the world was the suppression angle. So I was kind of surprised by this, that the suppression really had, there was a significant gap for people to make that realistic jump. And, you know, truthfully for me, I realized it was really the wrong time and place for me to be engaging at that level with that person. So it kind of went nuclear. So it's a big learning for me. But anyway.
So what would you do differently the next time? What did you learn from that?
Well, I think I would have taken more cues going into it and probably, you know, backpedaled or not engaged it at a deep level at all. I think it was my choice. It was wrong time, you know, wrong place. So I think that would have saved me ultimately. But I probably, if I chose to engage, probably would have crafted it a little bit differently.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, that was a big learning for me. And Kimberly was very helpful in this area, and especially early on. She would just like give me this gentle little tap on the shoulder or a little kick under the table or something like that, reminding me that what I had just initiated or responded to was not ideal for a wedding reception or a birthday party or something like that. Okay. And one of our other Thrive team members, Rob, when we were talking about this yesterday on our tech tune-up call, I asked him if he had one too. Rob, could you come on and share what you've been learning in this area?
Sure, I can say a little bit. So for me, the trick is almost overcoming my own self-censorship. This idea of becoming not wanting to bring things up in an environment where I'm not sure that it's going to be received very well, and particularly if, you know, for me, I like to be able to back up things with facts. Or if I'm talking with someone and I don't have, you know, a list of references that are handy that I can provide to someone, that's, you know, the hardest thing for me. So.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, let's get some of the other people who have raised their hands. Ideally, the ones who have.
I just wanted to say something about what Rob just said. You know, I know one of the big distinctions for me has to do with trying to, I mean, not just timing and place, and we'll get into all of that, but the whole thing about the difference between someone who doesn't know and someone who doesn't want to know. Like that's one of the key distinctions in terms of our own presence and discernment, you know, and generally you can actually get the information on that very quickly if you're available to, you know, if you're open to it. I noticed for me, that was one of the biggest learnings was to make that distinction because it's a really different process depending upon who's actually there on the other end.
Okay, great. Actually, while we're talking with the teammates here, I'd like you to bring on Ray Gale. A lot of people know Ray's participated in these Thrive Connect conversations for quite a while. Most people don't know that Ray is a member of the Thrive team as well, specifically has been willing to come out of a well-earned retirement to help us with the Thrive Connect project. He has tremendous business and personal skills that he's brought to it. So Ray, would you come on and share a little bit about your challenges in sharing with your buddies?
Hey, go ahead, Ray. You're unmuted.
Thank you, Goa. Yes. So when Edward Snowden first came out and that film was available of his interview in a Hong Kong hotel, I had a high school friend here staying with his wife. And I made a mistake in coming out way too early with my belief about the whole thing. And I found it was very much in conflict with his belief about the whole thing. Essentially, I thought Snowden was a hero and he thought he was a traitor that ought to be found and shot. And the discussion mended itself because we've been friends since high school and, you know, we're like 60 and 70 years old here now. So, It mended fairly quickly with him, but I can see how, for me, coming out too quickly with what I believe about the facts that I've gathered can turn someone else off in the conversation.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Can you turn on your camera, Ray, just so the people can see who you are?
Hold on a second. Let me get him going.
Ray and I have known each other for over 30 years, and we work together in Silicon Valley and so forth, and Ray is the guy that comes to mind most often for me when I'm blowing it in a situation and it's just not working out. I'll think to myself, okay, what would Ray do? And the fact that this is challenging even for him is really a reminder to me and probably to everyone else that we're all in this one. I think it's one of the main things that human beings have to master right now in order to actually survive as a species is how to disagree respectfully and actually learn from each other rather than just try to bully each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There he is.
Hey, there he is. Hey, Ray. Thanks so much.
All right, Ray. Well, thank you for coming on, Ray.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Who's next, Goa?
Hold on a second. Let me wind Ray out. And
if anybody else does have their cameras ready, it'd always be great to see you if possible.
Well, we had a couple people still left in the queue, so about Phil Christophers.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Oops, you disappeared.
I went down to my neighbor's to visit, and I can't even remember how I brought up the subject, but I brought up the subject of the Federal Reserve not being part of the federal government, that it's a private organization. And at the time, I got a lot of resistance from her, but she did go ahead and research it. And I came back later, a couple of other days later to talk to her, and she said, oh, well, thank you for letting me know that. So, I mean, to me, I think you just have to put the idea out there and kind of forcefully enough to where they'll go and research it. And if they'll do that, you won.
Yeah. And that's where one of the reasons we made Thrive was so that there would be an artifact that people could actually hand to someone. Because in regular social conversations, there's rarely enough time to communicate much facts and evidence, even if you have it. But if someone's willing to sit down and devote an hour or two to a good documentary, then you've got kind of third-party resources for facts and perspectives that make conversations possible, in my experience, at a whole different level. And I want to relate one other personal story while we're on this topic, Phil. It reminded me that it was the summer of 2008. I was vacationing with my family back on Lake Michigan. And a longtime friend of mine called me up back there and asked me if I would come over. He said he had a son-in-law visiting. And this son-in-law is a very successful, very wonderful Asian-American international businessman and has lots of successful companies around the world and so forth. And so this guy was visiting, and so he asked me to come over and talk with him. So I came over and met him. We sat there on the porch, and the guy turns to me and he says, okay, you know, our mutual friend here says you've got some information about the Federal Reserve that I need to hear. And here's this super sophisticated businessman. So I started feeling my way into it, and he knew absolutely nothing about it, just like your friend, Phil. And we got into talking. I, fortunately, at that particular time, I did a reasonably good job of stopping now and then and just checking in and saying, you know, are you with me? Is this making any sense? Is this too much? And he just wanted me to keep going. We probably talked for 3 hours. And then I could tell he was still skeptical, but he was obviously really bright and really interested. So we went away, and he called me. That was in August. He called me about a month later, and he said, Foster, you know that outrageous stuff you were telling me on the porch? He said, I've spent the last 3 weeks just completely immersed in research, and I've come to the conclusion that you're not only correct, but it's much worse than you were saying, which cracked me up, and I said, yes, that's true. And he said, well, I'm really grateful for this. Based on this research, I'm going to make changes in all of my companies across the world, because I know what I had warned him that there, given what I knew, there was probably a collapse coming very soon. And he acted on it instantly. And Kimberly and I became his heroes when he essentially avoided the 2008 collapse, you know, which happened a month later. And he was positioned for all of it. So we all of a sudden became his financial gurus. And he became a fast friend. And he's been a real supporter of Thrive. He's putting a bunch of his money into new energy devices. So from those challenging initial conversations, if they go well, or even if they don't, sometimes you plant a seed and it doesn't look like it hit fertile soil, but the thought remains in there, and they'll act on it later on. So thanks for bringing that up, Phil.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to bring up something in my interaction with my neighbor. Now she actually, I say something like that, then she wants me to give the references. So she doesn't want, like, she wants, since I've already done the research, she just wants to know what I'm doing. So that's what I do now.
Well, that's great. Yeah, so you actually opened a portal with her to have these kinds of challenging, meaningful conversations. That's one of the rewards of doing one conversation successfully, is that you get another true ally in your network. So, Kimberly, you were starting to say?
Yeah, I remember a conversation with someone also in when we were on that family vacation, and she was saying, you know, it's this investment. It's like if she feels like either one of us has an investment in her getting it, it really turned her off. And I thought and reflected on that a lot, because I thought that's a tall order, right? Because my belief is that the more people who are awake, the faster this whole thing's going to turn around because of the power that people really have. And so how to have that still create this spaciousness around, some people want to engage in this and some people really don't, and how do I get that kind of urgency out of my voice in order to have a more effective conversation while honoring the fact that it feels pretty urgent to me. And so that sort of started me on the path of building the alliances that give me the support to know that there really are millions of awake people engaged in this. And being connected to some of them, that's part of what this Thrive Together has been for us, as well as our engagement with the Thrive Network around the world, and then also just through personal relations. I have plenty of, you know, family relations and things where people don't want to talk about this kind of stuff. So I've sought out some relations where people really do, so that I'm assured that there really are plenty of us engaged in this inquiry and the appropriate response. And I think that's helped me to take the urgency out of my voice and delivery when I'm engaged with folks who really, for any number of reasons, just don't want to go there. But I did have to realize, God, this is kind of a weird situation. It's like we're in this tsunami, you know, and they're like, I don't want to talk about it. It's like, yikes, if we kind of got together on this, it would make it a lot easier. So anyway.
Okay, great. Goa, could you bring Nina on?
Sure. Hold for 1 second.
Okay. And Nina, if you do have a camera, just click in your control panel on the camera icon, and then we'll get to see you.
Hold on a second. I actually need to make them a panelist first. I see that they're phoned in, so I'm not sure if that's going to work out right.
Okay.
But
we'll
give it a
shot. Go ahead. Okay. Just.
Okay.
Go ahead, Nina.
Okay. Really, it's two things that both of you just alluded to in a way. But my training in nonviolent communication and restorative circle helped me learn that the connection is more important than being right about the topic, for one thing. And remind myself to find out what their needs are first before I delve in too deeply. Because if I'm not meeting their needs, they're not going to be able to hear. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That makes a ton of sense. Thank you so much for this. It sounds so simple.
Yeah.
Nina, I want, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on is that I, from conversations that Kimberly and I have had with you, I know you're in a very empowering partnership, and I would love it if you would share a little bit about what it's been like for you with your partner, keeping the communication clear, particularly as each of you were getting to know about these things.
Okay, we both kind of research in different areas, you know, building and maybe on our each strength. But then we come together constantly through the day to say, oh, what did you find today? What did you find? I don't know, is that really what you were alluding to?
Yeah, because we've noticed that many couples have come to us as we've gone around in public appearances and so forth, and more often than not, they say thank you so much for saving our relationship. And usually, what that turns out to mean is that somebody was into the whole conspiracy information first, and their partner got very afraid that they were either losing it or it was just going to be just really unpleasant around the house, or they were going to get left behind or something. So that these skills, you know, if you're talking to a stranger at a party and it doesn't go well, well, that's too bad. But if this is happening with your primary partner in life, it's a really big deal. And I know several of my relatives in my family have been going through this in very challenging ways. And so it's another reason why these skills, like you were talking about having establishing the connection first and really opening with making sure that you're aware of their needs. These are critical skills.
Which is probably why I'm not still married to my first husband.
Right. Well, these skills are valuable in every area, not just Thrive activity, that's for sure.
Thank you.
And I also want to just acknowledge you, Nina, while we're on here, that Nina is someone who contacted us with interest in the Thrive area, and we've been involved in ongoing wonderful conversations with her about how we can bring together different capabilities to help these inventors. So thanks, Nina.
Oh, my pleasure. Loving it.
Okay. Ray, I have another specific request because of the nature of what we're talking about. Now, I would love it if you would bring Charles Bensinger on. I see that he's got his hand raised.
I do not see them in the list, but I can probably search on them. What was the name again?
Charles Bensinger.
Uh-huh. Okay. I can make them a panelist. Charles, you're unmuted. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay, Charles, the reason I wanted to bring you on here, besides hearing what you have to say, is that I wanted to share with you, because I was literally going to write to you this afternoon, because just a few hours ago, I finished your first volume that you sent to us. This is a book written by Charles. This is the first in a trilogy, and the other two, thank goodness, are already published. Because, well, first of all, I got to say, Charles, I'm trying to forgive you for totally screwing up my schedule here. Because I'm way too busy to be sent absolute page-turning novels in general. But from the time I picked up this one, I couldn't put it down. So thank you, first of all, for your skill. But secondly, specific to this topic, is you're obviously someone who really opened up to whatever degree you weren't aware of some of the topics that we handled in the Thrive Movie and website. You've obviously opened up to them. And Charles just sent Kimberly and me this trilogy. And having just finished the first one, I've been so thrilled to see that it really goes into various aspects of not only climate change, but free energy devices and their suppression, and into various banking schemes, and into remote viewing and shape-shifting and directed energy weapons. So the fact that someone is taking these topics and weaving them very knowledgeably and credibly into a book which many, many people are going to end up enjoying reading is a fantastic kind of Aikido blend of how to share this information without not only not losing friendships, but also, you know, reconnecting with a ton of new people. So thank you for that, Charles, and any comments that you have, we welcome.
Sure. Well, you know, your movie was a great inspiration to me, and I thought, how can I help you guys get the message out to more people? And so I thought fiction would be a good way to do it, to create some real stories around this. Call it science fiction, but it's really present-day science fiction. You know, it's the sort of thing we all need to be thinking about. And I just feel that other than kind of what you're doing, most people aren't thinking far enough outside of the box. And I wanted to encourage them to just think more expansively and more creatively about these very important issues.
Great. Well, I so appreciate that. And it's one of the most satisfying things for us, especially when people integrate the information and get it out through their own creativity. There's another man named, writes under the name of David Power in Hawaii. I mean, in New Zealand, sorry. Australia. When we were touring over there, I got to meet him and read the first book of his trilogy. And the second one is Dynamite, and the third one's coming out. I'll hunt up the name for it. But the that had to do with a whole high school who starts watching this one woman teacher starts bringing in documentaries, starting with Thrive. And the teenagers just love it. And they get so turned on. But, of course, the administration starts getting a little upset because the kids are all of a sudden asking questions that they don't feel comfortable answering and all that kind of stuff. And I could go on with this, but I don't know how many of you know that if you've been watching the new rebirth of the X-Files, Kimberly and I were script consultants on the first and sixth episode. And the first episode is being, the claims are being made, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's true in my experience, that the episode number one has been called the most extensive ever account of real conspiracies on any of the major networks. So this is starting to happen. And fiction is a great way of doing it, especially when they know that it's based on fact.
You know, I was a little put off by that first episode because I realized I'd been scooped by the X-Files.
Well, what I found is they used to, when I worked in Silicon Valley, the marketing experts would say, most people need to get the message three times. The first time it's an anomaly, the second time it's a coincidence, and the third time they recognize there's a pattern here. I better pay attention.
Well, you'll see when you get into book two how it parallels that first episode in The X-Files.
Oh, great.
But the book and The X-Files work very nicely together. You'll notice that.
Wonderful. Charles, could you put the link to where to get your books or to a website in the chat?
Sure. I'd be glad to do that. That's
okay. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you very much for your good work.
I also want to ask you, Goa, if you would bring on David Morgan. I think he had his hand raised. Because this is another great example of where David, who is a super knowledgeable expert about precious metals and global finance and so forth, he was impacted by Thrive and contacted me, and we did a really fun radio show together. And I read his book, which then tremendously impacted me, and I've been sharing that information with all sorts of people. And, you know, you all know this is how it's happening. We're all finding each other now, and as long as we can have the respectful conversations, even if we don't agree on everything, then it there's just a synergistic effect that reaches more and more people. So is David on?
Yes.
Foster, thank you.
So David, how's it been going with you when you're sharing challenging information with people?
Well, when the Federal Reserve came up, I sent out a newsletter when I was in my early 20s, and one of the people that received it reported me the Postmaster General for this conspiracy about the Federal Reserve. And now, of course, you can go to their own website and determine that the Federal Reserve is a private corporation. So, you know, I've been on this trail for a very long time, specifically looking at the honest money question, a lot of other things, but I want to thank you and Kimberly and the entire team for all that you do. Anyone that wants to stay attuned to finance, certainly look at Foster's blog. You might look at my Twitter feed, which is at SilverGuru22. I personally do most
of
that.
Say that one more time.
Maybe SilverGuru22.
SilverGuru, okay.
If you
could put the Twitter and your book in the chat, that would be great.
Okay, Ken. If you have a question, I'm ready.
Well, I specifically, are there any stories that come to mind as you've been trying to share the material that you, I mean, you've looked at corruption in precious metals going back thousands of years to Chinese dynasties. When you try to share the fraud of fiat money or these other banking schemes and so forth with people, you know, with kind of more traditional professional money people or with just your friends when you get together with them, any stories come to mind of either what really hasn't worked and what you learned or what you find is working?
Well, Foster, the truth is this. For the vast majority, no one believes that we could have a currency collapse. And yet, 100% of the time, fiat currencies have collapsed. So even my most intimate friends really don't believe that it can happen. And yet it is happening now, and we need to be prepared spiritually, mentally, and emotionally to come through this, because it's going to take the best of us, I mean the best within all of us, to work together to come through it. And we're going to learn what real value is, and it's not those pieces of paper, and it's not even shiny metal pieces. It's what's inside all of us, and we've got to recognize that. Always and everywhere that we can.
Yeah, that's beautifully said. Thank you very much. And anybody who hasn't read the Silver Manifesto, follow the link that will be in chat, and it'd be well worth your while. It's well written, and it was one of those ones where I was just going through it with such great interest. And when it got to the solution section, all of a sudden I found that he was talking about Thrive, and I didn't even know he had done that. So thanks for helping to spread our word too, David.
You're most welcome.
I think that really reinforces the whole notion about maintaining that, you know, honoring that the connection is primary, and our relations that we build with one another and even with ourselves, I think is such a key part of it. I had this experience last night where I noticed one of the things I started doing was just when something would be said that I thought was false about the state of the world or whatever, I sometimes would just say, oh, I don't agree with that. Or, oh, that's not my perspective. And then sometimes no one says anything, right? That's just live there and things go on. And other times there's someone in the room who will go, oh, well, what is your perspective? And then there's a chance to just gradually unpack it in a more invited way while maintaining the connection. And last night I was with my grandchildren. One of my grandkids is 10, and we were watching this brain quiz thing, which is supposed to teach critical thinking and all of that that he had. And I was looking at it, and it was really a mixed bag of a show. Part of it was great for critical thinking and talked about confirmation bias and all kinds of interesting concepts, and another was really like debunking psychic phenomenon, right? And so we're watching it, and he goes, Grandma, do you agree with that? And I thought, oh, yay, you know, it's happened. Like, just to be thinking in terms of, is there another perspective about this, and do I want to know what it is? That's, I feel like, a big part of what I'm after anyway, is to have it be known that there's another perspective, and then to create this space enough that someone might want to know what that is. And I know in terms of the economy and the collapse that we're actually in, is it's been one of the hardest parts of it for me, because I thought that this collapse was going to show up differently sooner. Right? It's like, I'm with you 100% of the time. There's no way that you can spend on a credit card forever and not have it come home to roost. And no way that what's been going on doesn't end up having a consequence of collapse. And so, but here it is, you know, stock market's up, dollar's looking fine, and how this thing gets propped up and maintained so that it makes it harder for people to get, and especially because I did think that it was going to show up sooner in a different way for people to recognize. And that's been helpful for me to be able to acknowledge where I've been wrong or where my understanding is incomplete, which doesn't undermine the understanding that I do have. It's just a way to see that I'm actually in my own inquiry process. That's what this is all about. So that's been helpful for me, too.
One of the things that I would like to share that's been really important for me is whenever I can remember in challenging conversations, rather than dumping a whole bunch of information, to actually take the extra step myself to compose a provocative question. And I find that when I'm willing to do that, what it does is gets the other person thinking rather than defending. And when I ask a question without saying necessarily leading with my answer, all of a sudden we're on the same team trying to figure something out. And I want to tell a little story that this worked out for me in a very important way. I have a close relative whose husband is just a super talented healer, very wise, wonderful, loving guy, who just does not want to know about conspiracy or, you know, anything that he would term negative. It's just difficult for him. And I didn't know that in the beginning. I just thought he was being stubborn. Whatever we were in a group and I would talk about something, he would just fight me on whatever it was. And I finally got that there was no way that I was going to say anything that was actually going to get through to him. So I stopped and I said, you know, I want to apologize for talking so much when the truth of the matter is it doesn't sound like you actually want to hear what I have to say. And he really stopped and he paused and he actually got quite moved. And then he kind of self-reflected and then he looked me in the eye and he said, Foster, that's right. He said, if what you're saying is true, I don't think I would be able to handle it. And that would be just overwhelming and too much for me. So I don't want to hear it. And I really thanked him for being so genuine and self-disclosing with me. And I said, you know, that's all I needed to hear. I won't share anything with you unless you ask. So, okay, then Kimberly and I went to I went on a trip to Costa Rica to an event down there, and they were there also. We end up in a 2.5-hour car ride with them, and neither of us are bringing up anything. And so finally, he says, well, tell me what you're doing with Thrive. I really want to know what's going on. I looked around at him and kind of smiled, and I said, you know, I thought we agreed we weren't going to talk about this. And he said, no, but I really want to now. And I thought, and I said, okay, well, here's what we'll do. I'll talk about it with you, but I'll simply ask you questions, and we'll see how it goes. And he said, okay, great. So I said to him, because he's a very devout supporter of liberal causes and Obama in particular, and I said, why, in your opinion, would a new president whose wife is planting an organic garden on the White House lawn, why would he hire Michael Taylor, a former high-level executive from Monsanto, to head up the Department of Agriculture? And the silence descended upon the car, and he goes, gosh, I don't know. Why would they? And I said, well, I don't know. What do you think? And all of a sudden, he started brainstorming. Well, maybe there is some sort of collusion going on. Do you think that that's possible? And I said, well, you could be. What else do you think? And we actually really had fun. We ended up having about an hour-long conversation, but because I wasn't pushing it on him, he was able to set the pace and the depth of any particular topic. It actually worked, at least for then. He doesn't seek me out a lot for these conversations, but that was a real learning experience for me. Go, I would love if you would bring David and Melanie Fowler on as well. I know we've talked with them personally about this topic and the challenges with friends and family a lot. I'd love to have them share a little bit with the group.
You bet. They're available. And click on your camera icon if you'd like. David and Melanie.
Where's that camera icon?
If you find your name, there you go.
I just got through jogging, so.
Right. If you didn't think you were in, at least you have clothes on, Melanie. That's good.
Yeah, too bad for you guys. Listen, I have so many stories that where I've blown it and sharing with other people that it's really hard to choose. You know, when I found out about 9/11 and all of that, I mean, I just started spraying everybody with information like a fire hose. And, you know, I've been unfriended on Facebook. You know, I no telling how many people have just thought, you know, I've gone nuts. And my family, of course, you know, I guess they're trying to decide whether I'm mentally ill or weird. You know, I don't know. But I will tell a story maybe about chemtrails, because that has been something that just, you know, I'm confronted with every day when I walk out the door. I never know whether I'm going to see a beautiful blue sky or whether it's going to have those diagonal lines that are just so awful. And I used to confront people directly. And what I do now, David can tell you, is that I will step to the side, or I'll get my iPhone out, and I will be, whether I'm in a parking lot or whether it's always where other people are around, and I'll get my iPhone out, and I will, you know, look like I'm taking a picture, or I do take a picture, and I speak loudly, and I will talk about, you know, how unfortunate this situation is, and can you believe this is going on, and you know, I'm not directly talking to anybody, but other people will have started looking up at the sky, and they'll hear what I'm saying. And actually, people have come up and said, well, what is that? You know, I just thought those were just contrails. And it has opened up a conversation about the possibility of what is going on. And I'll just say that what I've really learned, I think, the most about sharing difficult information like this is not to convey fear and not to convey help, that we're helpless. Yet really to that it's most important to convey that being informed is power. And that, you know, I'm empowering my kids when I tell them things. So anyway, hope that helps.
Thank you. That's very helpful. And I also just, since this is the last one of these for a while, I have to say this carefully, but it's just so touching to me to see you just radiant, Melanie, and the fact that you just came in from jogging. I want to just share with people that a few months ago, Melanie was could not get out of bed unassisted and was at death's door. And we connected her with one of our Thrive Connect healers. And look at her today. She got a blood test yesterday, and she is completely, I don't even want to go into what it is or who the people are for security reasons, but she's 100% cured. And this is the type of thing we're working on.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you, Melanie. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Melanie. I'd like to share a little bit, if I could take a second. Let me finish up my administration. Well, there's sort of two things that have come up in this conversation that I wanted to share. And one, I think of Kimberly every time that I think of this analogy, because she's really the one who taught it to me, which is this this approach with dealing with certain really, you know, it's going to be potentially a nuclear issue is, hey, look at this bucket of water before the, hey, your hair's on fire. And I just want to just leave that because, you know, having a solution and knowing it and having the right timing around presenting it is such a key aspect here. I mean, I think of Charles in the financial collapse, you know, and it's like, you know, through his Twitter thing, you know, Silver Goo, you can obviously tell he's peddling the solutions. So
that was David.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, I got my names. But I think the point still holds that, you know, we be sure that you've got a solution if you can and have thought that through and have been able to articulate that in a good way.
Yeah.
The other piece that I wanted to share was I feel like I'm really on the phone here with a bunch of, you know, like a tribe of heretics, you know. It's like those people who know the truth, we're trying to get it out there, you know, in some way, the best way that it is our passion to do so. And I want to recognize that we're a time in history where we're not seen yet. And I want to say yet, because that yet is right coming close. You know, when I call it the shakedown, when the shakedown happens, you know, and the dust and the darkness falls away, the heretics will be moved from heretic to like expert consultant. So we're developing these skills now so that we can emerge into that role and be useful to people, because everybody's going to need it, right? Because they will be a forced awakening for some, and it's a graceful awakening for others. And we can make it more graceful if we can do this.
Beautifully said. I want to share one other thing. I want to make sure before we run out of time that one other thing that has really been working for me, again, with Kimberly's coaching, is instead of just an intellectual, informative conversation, if I'm willing at the appropriate time to make it personal for me, to actually share what I'm going through about the information, I find that really invites people in. Whether it's sharing that I feel, you know, really angry that young people are being sent off to war under false pretenses. I don't mean expressing anger at the person that I'm talking to, but just sharing that anger comes up for me sometimes when I think about that, or that I'm feeling sad for the, you know, billions of lives that are being just torn apart by a corrupt status global banking system. Or if I'm really willing to get deeper, that I actually feel afraid. It's very powerful for people to hear that fosters afraid. And I do get afraid of these. It doesn't stop me, but it fuels me and it informs me. You know, and if I share with someone that I'm afraid of, you know, my children, my grandchildren, their generations growing up in a toxic world under a tyrannical police state, and of losing my own credibility by trying to alert people that are near and dear to me, I find that people, if it's genuine, people can really relate to that and usually start sharing about their own process, and it just really deepens a previously informational type of conversation.
One thing I want to add on the solution piece, Goa, that you were saying is that for me, knowing how many people are engaged in solutions, I mean, it's one of the things that I just wish I could convey to the extent that I feel it because of the position that I'm in with Thrive Connect. Like, here we are wading through so many absolutely fantastic, significant breakthrough solutions. I mean, really in every sector, there are people where every single problem that exists, there are brilliant, imaginative, brave people who have taken on coming up with a solution. Like, that is 100% true. And we've had to sort of wade through them. And even as we sorted through, you know, half of them weren't what they thought they were, but the half that were are more than enough to turn everything around. So we're in this position where we're just like developing the bandwidth and the skills and the, you know, the capacity to maneuver this and make the right links to bring them out. But where I don't know the facts of the solution in every single arena, but I'm 100% convinced that they exist, that there are solutions that are within our reach, and that our being awake to that possibility and knowing it is really important, because for me, when I'm feeling like, whew, this is, you know, I look at the TPP or something like that that just really gets my goat, as Foster knows. I just remember how much is going on that is fantastic, and that focusing on that is an important part of it. And now, of course, for us, developing the structure for fulfillment of those things is a part of it. But whether or not you have the facts of a particular solution, knowing how many people are awake to what's going on and doing things. Look, I mean, the people putting it into fiction to help the story get out that way is huge. You know, developing the nonviolent communication skills is huge. Like, whatever the part is that's yours to do, it really matters, because it's all of these coming together that's going to make it so that it really works out as we lay these things out. And that's where, you know, being wrong about the timing on something or blowing it sometime in a conversation because there was a sense of urgency or losing the connection by trying to get it in some other way, or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. I just really want to remind us all of how many people are awake all over the world. And I would say even especially in other countries. I wasn't aware at first of how much more open people in other countries were, but I realized that, you know, everyone's in this trajectory of what happens with fiat currencies, and the world's been based on them. And so those countries that have already gone through the collapse and seen things they didn't think were going to happen, and come to terms with that and come out the other side, are much quicker to recognize the state of affairs and engage in these more bold solutions and understand that the corruption and also the solutions. So there are lots of people all over the place. I guarantee it, because we've vetted them and found out it's really true, and they're in the database, and we really are making the connections. So, and I know we're one of, you know, there are people all over. There are other tribes, like, out there around the world. We have, there are other networks that are poised to do this when we get the model worked out. So, So anyway, I just wanted to say that on the solution end of it. We're, even if we get into those situations and think we're alone, we're not.
Thanks, Kimberly. We have one more poll to do, and I think this would be a good time for it. So, Rob, if you could bring up that final poll. What we want you to ask yourself now is, what is working well for you in challenging conversations with your network? And once again, check whichever ones apply. Is it working well for you when you try just really focusing on listening? when you lead with questions rather than statements and claims and a whole bunch of information? Does it work well for you when you establish a common ground around shared values? If I had to pass on one trick, this is the one. I learned this from Larkin Rose, an incredible liberty philosopher. He finally led a workshop that was 100% successful with no, you know, conflict in it about the liberty principles. And it's because he spent the first half of the day just getting on the same page around shared values. Choosing carefully the appropriate settings and timing of challenging topics so that you don't, I had to learn from Kimberly not to bring up, you know, the latest news on satanic pedophilia networks around the world as we were getting into bed. It's like, yeah, that's not a really good idea for your dreams, for your relationship, for anything. And then recommending third-party information. Like I mentioned, if you can hand somebody a book or an article or a video where you can get a common information base, are you trying that? Is that working for you? In terms of your mood, if you remain calm and patient and good-humored, even on a difficult topic, is that working for you or any other that isn't particularly on this list? So again, mark any of those that are working for you. And hit submit, and we'll look at the tally on that one.
There we go.
All right. Remaining calm, patient, and good-humored seems to take the trophy on this one.
Yeah, which speaks to honoring the connection above the information. You know, I think that was just so succinct and right on of a way to put it.
So then we've got establishing common ground around shared values. I'm really glad that so many people are aware of that already. I was not for a long time and paid the price around that. But once you've shared, once you get on the same page, that you know, of course you want to see people be healthy and have equal rights and be prosperous and secure and all that stuff. Once you establish that with someone and then start talking about the banking system or the welfare system or the currency system and so forth, it becomes glaringly obvious to both of you that there must be something in the way of manifesting those shared values, and it's just a lot easier to have that conversation. Then also the appropriate settings and timings is strong also, and the leading with questions. Okay, great. Well, I also want to take a minute here to before we wrap up, I want to bring on the various Thrive teammates that you don't get to see very often so that you can just have a chance to see them and appreciate them and kind of know what they what some of them are up to. So, Goa, if you could bring on Mitch. A lot of people interact with Mitch, either in chat here or on the internet, or through our website and our info. But very few people get to actually meet Mitch, and it's a treat. Mitch is so kind and thorough that he, among other things, he's our customer service wizard. Seems to have infinite patience. So.
There he is.
Do you have a camera available, Mitch?
Yep, he's on.
I'm on. Hello, everyone.
I don't see him yet.
No, he's there. It's just not showing up on your thumbnails, Foster.
Oh, okay. He's on the screen?
Uh-huh.
Oh, there he is. Okay, great. Well, welcome, Mitch. first of all, from me, thank you for all that you have done from the first one of these Drive Together things to handle what I think is the most difficult task of all. Could you describe a little bit about what you do for these calls and then what you do for Thrive in general?
For the calls, it's the technical back end. A lot of times people have issues trying to get on the call, trying to find the links that they need. If somehow a password gets lost or whatnot, I try and get them on. All the technical glitches, I do the best I can. Sometimes I have to refer to WebEx because it's just beyond my scope. Yes, just make sure that everybody can arrive here. And I, in a lot of ways, that's the same thing I do for Thrive in general. I'm responding to people's questions and needs and trying to get them connected with who they need to connect with to get the response that will help them be involved with the Thrive movement.
Yeah, and Mitch is very modest, so I'll also say that that he handles a lot of our contracts because he's so fair and detailed oriented, and secondly that he handles all of our PR requests. So he wears a lot of hats.
And does research and helps me with so many things, and is going to be migrating also to help more with Thrive Connect. So our core team that we've had together for the making of Thrive and the research before that and all the rest, we're going to all just be moving forward into the next arena together. And we're super grateful for everybody. And we actually met Mitch through his wife who worked with Thrive before that. And just a fabulous couple with a fabulous sons. And we're grateful to have you with us now and forever, Mitch.
Okay.
I also want to add, Mitch, as part of our customer service effort, he really is the main primary feedback loop that we get from Thrive. And as Kimberly talked about, having that feedback loop is so important. And to say to Mitch's credit, there's so many organizations where you send off an email and it's like the black hole. You never know if it ever reaches anywhere. And with Mitch, you can know that it will always get to where it needs to go. There's no cracks with Mitch. So we appreciate what you do. Do a great job.
Thank you, Mitch.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Could you bring Rob on one more time?
Right ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead. Activate your camera. There you go.
So I met Rob when I went to a conference in San Diego one time, the Libertopia conference. And, I've done hundreds of appearances around the world with Thrive. And, usually the major hurdle is making sure that the media is working correctly. So I go into this room and there's just one guy there, and it's Rob, and he starts showing me, demonstrating everything, and everything is absolutely impeccable, and the guy is completely calm. And so afterward, I really thanked him, and then he asked to meet with me later on, and had decided that with what was going on in his life, he wanted to move to the next level of comprehensivism in his own activism. And so he said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" And we went off in a corner room, and he said he would really like to work with Thrive. Now, a lot of people tell us that, and unfortunately, we can't welcome them all in. But when I talked to our team about this guy that I'd met in San Diego, and not only all the skills that he brings, but who he is, all the lights went off in the right direction. So, Rob, could you describe a little bit about what you do on the call and for Thrive in general?
Sure. Thank you, Foster. I remember that meeting. Really special moment. And I remember telling you specifically that I can't think of anything more important than anyone is doing than what the Thrive team is doing. So it's really an honor for me to join that team. And what I do for these calls in particular, managing the polling section, and I'm also fielding the Q&A submissions as they come in. But, I'm a technical person. I'm a programmer by trade. And so a lot of the support that I provide for Thrive is technical support, managing our email systems and our domains and the website, in particular, posting a lot of articles that show up on the website. So I'm managing a lot of that for Thrive.
Yeah. And Rob, even before he came on our team, was already had years of research and work into understanding and spreading the Liberty perspective. So he's a great ally for me in the philosophical conversations as well as the technical ones. So thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Okay.
And we will all be continuing to, I mean, there's still going to be stuff coming out from Thrive, you know, in the form of Foster's curated emails and the social media and stuff like that. And from time to time, we will be putting out other things that keep you up on what we're doing. And any of you who can continue to support us, it would make a world of difference, of course. This, like I said, it's a big undertaking, and we're going to be on it here. We're fully committed, and we'll get back in touch with you about that. But we'll also figure out ways just to keep this group up on what it is that's happening so that you can share the encouragement that comes to us from working on this level of now taking the next steps to bring these solutions to fruition.
I wish we had them on the call today, but there's a young lady who recently had a baby named Erin and a man from UK named Lee, who have been handling our social media for years, as well as, you know, way back to the distribution and troubleshooting when we were being pirated all over the place. And they're just absolutely brilliant and competent. They're not on the call today, but they are responsible for the all the e-blasts that go out and the posts on Facebook to promote these events. So many thanks to them. And then Goa creates our graphics. And speaking of graphics, Goa, could you describe to people what you did in relation to Thrive previously, what you do for these calls, and what else you do for Thrive? Speaking of wearing a lot of hats.
Yeah, I should have a counter of how many hats I've worn along this journey here. So it's been really fun. I actually have the same fond memories of meeting Foster for the first time. But I won't go into that now. So I led the team that did all the visual effects and animation for the film Thrive, which was about an 8-year endeavor, about 16,000 man hours total for the whole thing. So it was pretty significant effort. Now I do a variety of things, from technically managing director of the Thrive Connect project. So we're interfacing with inventors, and I also handle a lot of the security communications protocols and infrastructure, how that goes. I also have done all the video production and editing and some of that back-end administration stuff. But while I've got the mic here, I do want to say one quick thing about Rob, because he said he does a lot of tech support, and I really think that's not an accurate piece, because like tech support, you think of like you're getting on the phone with somebody, and he does do that. I mean, does a great job at it, but he really does shoulder the administration of all of our systems. And doing that, you know, I wanted to share a great story. I had a mentor tell me, if you're going to be successful in your business or your job, make everybody else around you look good. And Rob really does that. He does a great job making everybody around him looking good without seeing a lot of attention to himself. So I do want to say that before I let go.
Thank you very much.
And also the attention to detail and reviewing things. And one of the things I just value so much is the candor with which our team operates. There's no taboo subject. There's no taboo feedback if something doesn't make sense or in any way needs a next level of conversation or process or anything else. I've just always been able to count on everybody, and with the blogs, Rob, you in particular, and your fine tooth comb with that has given me much great assurance that I just feel like we've been in such good hands, and I'm so grateful that this team is gonna just have what we need to move forward together with this next adventure. So I'm very grateful.
And you got to meet Ray. I think I saw Marshall's name on the list too. Marshall, do you have a camera that you could turn on? Marshall is not currently working day-to-day with the Thrive team, but did for many years. If we can get him back in the future, we will. He's been an instrumental part, not only of Thrive, but of Barbara Marks Hubbard's Foundation for Conscious Evolution, Nassim Haramein's Resonance Project. He was chairman of the board. He's an incredible geometry researcher, has also helped build the Gene Keys organization, and I could go on and on, but I want to have a chance for you all to see and appreciate Marshall.
I don't think Marshall's with us. I can't find him on the list.
Okay, he was earlier, so maybe he had to drop off, but anyway, we send out our appreciation to him.
And I want to say one last thing about that, because Marshall's colleague, Teresa Collins, is someone who made a huge impact on me in my process in this whole subject of learning how to share information, because early on, I didn't have women friends who weren't already informed, who were willing to go down the rabbit hole with me. Like I just, Alex Jones was too loud or offensive or something like that. And Teresa and Marshall, but Teresa is the female part of that, really took the dive with me and said, anything that you're learning, I'll learn with you and we can talk about it together. And I feel like it helped me so much to have like a buddy system in that early inquiry so many years ago. And I really recommend that. And both she and Marshall were just so instrumental early on in really diving in with us and journeying through the inquiry together and having it be that there was nothing that we couldn't explore together out loud and as couples. And it was really, really helpful. So I'm deeply grateful to them also.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time. I always wish we could go longer with this. And you know, we're closing Thrive Together right now, but it is part of our plan, if things go as we're envisioning, at some point to open it up in the future as Thrive TV with a lot more technical capacity and a lot bigger reach around the world. But we envision that when more of the Thrive Connect projects are actually being successful and demonstrating the principles that we talk about in Thrive as instrumental in bringing the solutions that we need. And of course, we'll let you know as we're approaching that. So I just want to really thank everyone for not only today's participation, but for everything that you have done to support the Thrive mission, the Thrive team, and the literally Thrive Together. Because with today's topic of how to share these difficult conversations with people without losing the relationship, I want you to know that you are beyond the Thrive team, along with our solutions network. You are the ones who have been who've accepted our invitation into that nearest circle of people who can handle any of these topics and interact usefully and respectfully and in ways that empower one another to really do something about these topics and not just talk about them. So I cannot express how deeply I love you and appreciate, you know, who you are and what you're doing in life. And though we're closing Thrive Together for now, Thrive is going full on, and we consider you absolute allies and partners in the world, and it's only going to get more exciting. So thank you so much for being who you are. Kimberly, anything else you want to
add? I just feel the same way. Thank you, and I promise you'll be hearing more from us and that it's going to be some pretty amazing good news coming down the pike.
All right. Well, let's open up the microphones and have people have a chance to just say goodbye to one another one last time for now.
Great. Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks to everyone.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you all.
For to you.
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate all that you did.
Wonderful, awesome team.
Okay, thank you, Beverly. Aaron and Brian.
From Randy.
Rob. Everyone.
dynamic.
In December, I started to pay $10.
Well, yeah.
Thank you, God. Well, I think I need
Okay.
All right. Back in five on Zoom.
Thanks, everybody. Yep. Cheers.
Shall we get on Zoom in five?
Yeah, I just want to close the event so everyone will leave.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody. Cheers.